Apparently, I'm getting better. Last time I preached here, I don't know, a month or so ago, there was only $1 up here. This morning, there's two. So I appreciate that. Or maybe that's just the one that was here and somebody added another one to it. I'm not really sure about all that. Why don't you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 8. Very easy to find. Go to the front of the Bible and it starts with Genesis and goes to Exodus. Okay. The second book of the Bible and the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. Very unusual story I want to share with you. You're very familiar with a lot of this because it's the story, of course, of the judgment of God on Egypt. And but we're gonna approach it from a little different angle. I want to do just a couple of things this morning before I get into the message. I want us to remember, especially Gwen. We'll pray for her in a moment, and for Brother Lanny also. Brother Gwen, Sister Gwen's been very, very, very ill, and spent most of the day Saturday in the emergency room, and then I think she shared with they're a precious couple, and they try to share everything, and I think she shared it with Brother Lanny, and so now he's down sick, so pray for him also. Don't know how bad he is. She was really, really bad. I'm just thank God she was able to get home, but we need to remember her in prayer. And then one announcement that Shane didn't make because he didn't know anything about it. I met with the young marriage this morning, and we're in the process of putting together a marriage retreat. We did that several years ago, and probably in the month of June, and it looks like from the calendar here, that may be the only open month for a long time, but probably the month of June, but we'll let you know. No specifics yet. You can talk to Laura. She's going to be, I think, she was a little bit late getting to Sunday school, so we put her in charge of it. Seemed only right thing to do. But we'll let you know about that. And when we do, we'll get some sign-up sheets. And we warned you before, and I'll warn you now, way ahead of time, if you want to go, it'll be a couples retreat. You need to sign up early because we ran out of spaces last time. I think we had about 30 couples and had some folks that didn't get to go. And I hate that, but... there's always only so many, and so we'll let you know. We'll give you a lot more details as time gets a little closer. I am so thrilled. I didn't realize how thrilled I was. You've heard of people being so excited they busted the buttons off their coat. Well, I busted my button off this morning. I am so proud to be here, so thrilled to be here. Doesn't seem like I've been gone. Seems like we've just been here the whole time. What are you up to now? This is one man in this church I don't trust. Oh, it needs to be turned
can
on.
I'm trying to help you out here.
All right. Thank you. Bless your heart.
Somebody's got to.
I thought I turned it on.
All right, there's a mute. Try that.
Testing.
Yeah, it's off mute. And it's on. Okay.
It's on and off of mute. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right. A little better. Thank you. Thank you, Shane. Shane's my buddy. Shane's been helping me. Shane's been helping me move. Don't know what I'd do without this guy. We love him and Tiffany and the boys so much, and thank God the boys were not hurt any worse than they were in the wreck. They're up and going. Had Brock busy moving us yesterday, so he's doing better. Let me take just a moment because it has been a long time. I really don't know, somewhere maybe 6-7 years since we were here before, and I see a lot of new faces. I see a lot of old faces. That didn't come off good, did it? Anyway, folks that I know from before, but a lot of new faces, and I'm going to ask my wife to stand up, and this is my wife, Janice, in July. Go ahead and stand up, honey. Thank you. I'm in for it now. It's going to be a rough day. But in July, we will celebrate 54 years of marriage. And so we... We have four sons and 16 grandchildren, four of who are now married, and one of those marriages has now produced our first great-grandchildren. We have a set of twins that were a year old back on the 10th of this month, and that kind of tells you probably enough about us. This morning I want to talk to you about the Lord now, okay? Open your Bibles, if you don't have them open, to Exodus chapter number 8. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me this morning out of respect for the Word of God as we read some verses, beginning in verse number 1, Exodus chapter 8. Beginning in verse number 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come upon you, on your people, and on all your servants." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, "Stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go." Liar, liar. That they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." And so he said, now this is Pharaoh, so he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God." Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for your word, for the amazing, amazing miracles of the Word of God, for the grace and salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for all, Lord, that you just absolutely pour out into our lives. Lord, every day I feel so unworthy, but it's never based on my being worthy. It's always based on you being worthy. And Lord, all of my righteousness is simply your righteousness handed to me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, as we get into this time this morning, I want to especially remember our pastor, Brother Lanny, and his wife, Gwen. Lord, I ask for healing for them. I know you can do it. You're the great physician. And I just pray that you'd touch their lives and touch their bodies and that you'd bring healing to them. And then, Lord, I ask you to bless this message. May it accomplish today what you desire. Lord, not what I want, but what you desire. Touch every heart and life with that message, that word that you have for each of us. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, "One More Night with the Frogs." We got a lot of frogs in Arkansas. I love frog legs. I love frog legs. My wife thinks that I really have a weird diet. I love things like frog legs and squirrel gravy and just strange things. But boy, that's just good eating. But you know what? I don't want any frogs in my house, okay? I sure don't want them in my bed. I don't want them in my pots and bowls that I cook with. Frogs need to stay in the river or in the pond or wherever they belong. They do not belong in my house. And here the Bible says they were absolutely everywhere. And the word here that is translated frog comes from an unusual Latin word, and I'm not going to get into that. Probably can't pronounce it anyway. But this type of frog was not a hopping leaping frog. These were crawling frogs. Now, they could hop a little, but they didn't hop like the frogs we see around here. And they croaked continually. They never let up. And so they're just crawling everywhere, all over these houses, and all over everything, and they're croaking continually. Can you imagine living with that? And then they get upset about it, and Pharaoh calls Moses in. He says, Moses, man, you've got to get rid of these frogs. Now, of course, Moses had already, Pharaoh had already tried his method for it, and we'll look at that in a minute. He just had the musicians, the magicians and the sorcerers bring up more frogs. And that's kind of what the world does, doesn't it? They just compound the problem instead of solving it. And Moses said, okay, I will do that for you. I'll get rid of these frogs. When do you want me to get rid of them? Now, I can, my wife, if I'd have made this statement, my wife would kill me. I mean, literally, I would be a dead man. Wouldn't be preaching to you today. But Pharaoh said, Moses said, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? And what did Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Going to bed and finding them in your bed. Getting up in the middle of the night and stepping on them. Oh, wouldn't can you ladies just imagine squashing those frogs as you're walking through the house? One more night with the frogs. Now, let's look at this. And I've kind of broken the story down into some areas that will really help us to understand God's message. Folks, every place, there is nothing in here that is not a message for us, okay? Everything, every story, every miracle, every parable, everything Jesus taught, it is ultimately for us. And if we don't get that out of it, we've missed something, okay? And so let's look at this story in some detail. First of all, the reason for the plague. What was the reason for the plague? Because God always has a reason, okay? God never does anything without a reason. What was the reason for the plague? Well, first of all, because Pharaoh refused to obey God. He had already suffered God's first judgment. Remember when he turned the water into blood? That wasn't enough. And Moses took care of that for him, and then he wouldn't let the people go. And the reason was because he wouldn't let God's people go. He refused to obey God. He had ample warning. He had ample opportunity. The decision was totally in his hands. Now, let me tell you this morning, and we're going to hit this over and over and over again, but obeying God is always your decision. Okay? It's not my decision. It's not somebody else's decision. It's not the husband's decision or the wife's decision. It is your decision whether you're going to obey God or not. And God said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, not hardly. Not hardly. These folks are building a lot of good things for me, and they're helping me, and they're free labor for me, and I'm not letting them go. Because they might not come back. In fact, they didn't, as it turned out. So the decision totally in his hands. Now, what was the extent of the plague? We've already kind of looked at that. But there in verse 3 and verse 4, it says that they were everywhere. They affected everyone, and there was no place to hide.